What was that, my dear Mr. Corder? I fear that my thoughts were elsewhere.
I said, any idea where we are?
In a redoubt, sir.
We fucking know that.
It is a place of some size, unless I miss my guess. My memory is clouded. After a jump, I have always been a touch on the forgetful side. There were so many.
How many?
Many stockpiles and also many redoubts. Indeed, in places of the blessed land where it was thought attacks might be concentrated, I recall they built some redoubts that were also stockpiles. Perhaps this is such a place.
They'd been walking, by Ryan's calculation, for nearly 15 minutes, covering more than a mile at their brisk pace. When they reached a steel barrier blocking their progress, they stood and stared at it. Finally, Ryan stepped forward and looked into the nearest camera.
I'm becoming tired of this. We're all hungry and thirsty and in need of rest. We come in peace. We have laid down our weapons, yet still you treat us like an invading enemy.
Even as he spoke, he realized that he had unconsciously slipped into the same form of address as the person behind the screens. The reply came, crackling and wheezing. Either the sound reproduction was poor, or a decrepit old man was talking. Or both.
The Keeper has never seen the light.
Then let us see this Keeper. Let us talk to him. We are few. This redoubt must hold hundreds of armed men.
I could use the Plazex and then make a run for that gateway.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's get the fuck out of this fire-blasted place.
He was suddenly interrupted by the door ahead of them beginning to slide slowly upward, revealing the legs, then bodies, then heads, of three people standing facing them. Oki shook her black hair in disbelief.
I'll eat my bastard blaster.
Two women and a man were spread across the corridor, two paces apart, each holding a gun. Ryan sized them up, trying to hide his bewilderment. He'd expected to see the cream of the redoubt's guards, a squad of uniformed sec men, helmeted and masked. The man at the center of the trio stood a scant 5 feet tall, Ryan guessed. He was dressed in a bizarre assortment of rags and tawdry finery, a jacket that bore sparkling sequins, leather breeches that were hacked off raggedly above the scrawny knees, and a woman's high-heeled boot on the right foot, and a stained shoe of blue canvas on the left. Numerous medals on scraps of iridescent ribbons jingled from his left breast. A bandolier that crossed his chest contained an extraordinary range of ammunition. Even at a snatched glance, Ryan could make out 6 or 7 different calibers. It was tough to estimate his age. He was so stooped and bent that he might have been 90. His long white beard was stained amber, seemingly with nicotine, and strands of orange and green ribbons were plaited through it. His hair was streaked silver and gray and straggled to his shoulders. His face was in shadow, but it was possible to make out a narrow mouth, a hooked nose, and deeply set eyes beneath beetling brows. On the right was a woman of a similar age and garb. Her jacket and leather breeches were so dirty that their original color was indeterminable. She wore a cap, pulled to one side, and decorated with cheap glass brooches. She was grinning, showing a picket fence of broken and chipped teeth. Ryan finally rested his eyes on the other woman. Close to 6 feet tall, she had natural poise and elegance. Her hair was a tumbling mane of bright gold over a red satin blouse. Her belt had an ornate silver buckle. Her skirt was pale maroon suede. It ended well above the knee, and her legs were encased in high boots of polished crimson leather, the high heels ornamented with tiny silver spurs that tinkled softly as she moved. A pearl-handled pistol hung at her right hip. Her eyes were a deep summer blue, gazing frankly at Ryan and each of the others in turn. The touch of her eyes was like a caress across Ryan's cheek, and he was astonished at the girl's power. She couldn't have been more than 16. All three of the strangers carried the same weapon and held them with the casual ease of professionals. Yet there was something about them that gave Ryan pause. Their ease was studied, almost as if they'd mastered it from a picture in a book. Real killers had a constant tension to them. They never relaxed. JB whispered out of the corner of his mouth,
"Heckler and Koch silenced Sub-MG."
But Ryan had already recognized the guns. He'd seen odd examples and uncovered stockpiles. The model was the MP5 SD2. Loaded, they weighed nearly 7 pounds. Not that accurate over any distance, but 20 paces away, as they were now, The trio of guns would rip them apart. The old man finally broke the silence.
Greetings from the keeper of this redoubt, strangers. Never have there been such outsiders here.
Ryan was utterly confused. Where were the sentinels, the platoons of armed sec-men? Who was this dotard with the two ill-matched women?
Thank you. Are we welcome here?
We think so. The keeper thinks you are. What are your names?
I'm Ryan Cotter. This is J.B. Dix.
The armorer took off his crumpled fedora and nodded.
Hennings and Finnegan. Lady with the green hair is called Honecker, and the lady with the red hair is Christy Roth. Tall one's Oki.
What of him?
The barrel of the machine gun swung toward Doc, who was lurking at the rear of the group.
Name's Doc Tanner. Dr. Theophilus Tanner. I'm pleased to make your acquaintance, sir.
He bowed deeply, swinging his tall hat behind him.
And you, ladies?
Ryan was thunderstruck at Doc's reply.
Tanner? Theophilus Tanner? You said you didn't know your fucking name, Doc. How?
I suppose a door sprang open that I'd thought had closed forever. Just came, like that.
The old man shuffled his feet in embarrassment, like a boy caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Theophilus. What kind of a name is that, Doc?
My name, madam. A poor thing, perchance, but mine own. How could I have forgotten it? How could I?
He backed away, mumbling to himself.
It's a day of surprises.
If Doc's memory had really returned, then there were many questions that Ryan wanted to ask him. But that would have to wait until later.
Hey, you had best come. That is the invite of the keeper. There is food.
What about our blasters?
Later, my pretty little chick. All things later. First come and eat. Why, there is enough.
For the first time, the old woman spoke.
Oh, but there's plenty for us all for eternity. Eternity or even fucking longer.
She seemed likely to choke on her own merriment. The stunted old man made sure his guests went ahead of him. The two women stayed behind them on either side, and he stayed right at the back,